May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. As David mentioned a few weeks ago, during the Easter season, we joyfully proclaim in our services the words, Alleluia, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, Alleluia. But what does this proclamation truly mean for us today? This is what I want to explore with you. Is the resurrection only about forgiven sins and us going to heaven? Or does the risen Christ impact us beyond that? Today's reading from John's Gospel takes us exactly on that journey, and I want to focus with you on Peter's perspective, because his story teaches us how the truth of the resurrection shapes and deepens our faith. You see, after the resurrection, Jesus instructed the disciples to wait for him in Galilee. This is where John's Gospel picks up the story, at the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee. Galilee was a place of deep significance because most of them had met Jesus in Galilee for the first time. For Peter, Andrew, James, and John, too, Galilee is where it all began. All four of them were professional fishermen before Jesus had called them to follow him. The Sea of Galilee was their place of work, and I think it's fair to say that they had led a very different life before they had met Jesus. So the gospel tells us that while they were waiting in Galilee, Peter stood up and decided to go fishing. Now, Peter was a natural leader, and the others joined him. Some believe that Peter was wrong to go fishing, seeing it as a return to his old life as a fisherman. Others believe Peter was simply being wise and practical, since the scandal of Jesus' death on the cross had now probably ended all their source of support. Or maybe he was just trying to kill time. In any case, the disciples didn't realize their Lord was watching them as they carried out this simple, ordinary task of everyday life. We read that Jesus, compassionate as ever, called to them from the shore and told them where to cast the net. And they caught 153 fish. This is when John realized it is the Lord. Very quickly, Peter jumped into the water and swam toward Jesus. I don't know about you, but there is no doubt in my mind that Peter truly loved Jesus. But despite his deep love for the Lord, Peter had failed to stand by Jesus during the last hours of his life. Peter's hurried response to be near Jesus by immediately dropping everything he does and jumping right into the water probably expressed the deep regret Peter still felt for his actions and his words. When the disciples arrived, Jesus already prepared breakfast, a charcoal fire, fish, and bread, all waiting for them. Before they brought anything, Jesus already provided for them. Then Jesus asked them to bring some of the fish they just had caught. Peter, strong as he was, hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and they had a very beautiful breakfast on the shore. Then, finally, Jesus turned to Peter, but he called him by his former name, Simon. You might recall that Simon was his name until Jesus renamed him Peter, saying, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." You see, Jesus chose Peter and gave him a mission long before the cross and long before Peter's failure. But now the question hung in the air. Did Peter's failure undo it all? Did it disqualify him? Maybe Peter himself was wrestling with this very question. Yet, even after his failure, Peter was about to discover that the risen Christ wasn't finished with him. So we read that Jesus addressed Peter saying, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now, the usage of the word "these" has been widely debated over the years. What did Jesus look at when he said, "Do you love me more than these?" Did he look at the fish or at the people? Because if he was looking at the fish, these may have referred to Peter's old life as a fisherman. Do you love me more than your old life? However, I think it's more likely Jesus was prompting Peter to revisit his earlier claim that he loved Jesus more than the other disciples did. As you might recall, before denying Jesus three times, Peter had very confidently insisted, "Even if all fall away, I never will." So now, Jesus simply wanted to hear from Peter if he still had that proud estimation of his love and devotion to the Lord. Three times Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you." But something very subtle is happening here. Many Bible scholars note that in the original text, Jesus and Peter use two different Greek words for love in this conversation. Jesus uses the word agape, meaning selfless, unconditional love, like the love the Lord has for us. Peter uses phileo, meaning affectionate, brotherly love, like friends. So the first two times, Jesus asks if Peter loves him with agape, with a deep, unconditional, and selfless love, to which Peter responds with phileo, saying, "I love you as a friend." The third time, however, Jesus shifts and uses the word phileo, aligning with Peter's previous responses. He was meeting Peter where he is at emotionally and spiritually. Now, Peter was hurt, because probably by the third time, he has realized that Jesus was gently confronting his three denials and meeting him in his imperfect love. By using Peter's word, however, Jesus was also showing compassion. "I accept your love, Peter. I know where you are, and I'll meet you there." There is much for us to learn from this beautiful conversation. Firstly, Peter's use of the word phileo wasn't distance or coldness. It was humility. Once bold in proclaiming devotion, he now admitted, "I care for you deeply, Lord, but I won't claim more love than I can truthfully live up to. I know that I'm weak." Peter accepted now that he could fail. This was something incredibly hard for someone like Peter. Peter, the strong fisherman, the natural leader, and passionate action taker, was finally willing to recognize his weakness and to estimate his spiritual state truthfully. The more marvelous lesson here is, however, that Jesus, knowing all this, still entrusted Peter with the care of his people, saying, "Feed my sheep, tend my lamb." By this, Jesus is showing that honesty is enough for his grace to begin its work. This public restoration by Jesus made clear Peter was still chosen by Jesus to help build Christ's church. And sure enough, later on we see how Peter lived up to this calling. In the Acts of the Apostles, we read how Peter preached and 3,000 people were added to the church at Pentecost. Peter also continued to play a crucial role within the church later on. For example, by confirming that the good news about Jesus must be proclaimed not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. However, we would be very mistaken if we thought that Peter didn't mess up ever again, because Peter still wasn't perfect. He still was human. In Galatians chapter 2, for example, the Apostle Paul confronts Peter for withdrawing from Gentile believers out of fear of criticism by the Jews. So even after the resurrection, after Pentecost, after becoming the rock of the church, Peter still got things wrong. Isn't that good news for us too? In this particular instance, Paul held Peter accountable, truthfully, and with brotherly love. That's what real Christian community looks like. Not perfection, but encouragement, commitment to truth, and genuine love. We need that too. We too need fellow believers who genuinely care for us, not just approach us when there is a task to be done in church, but who sincerely want to be part of our life beyond the walls of this building. We need fellow believers, good Christian friends who cheer us on in our victories, who encourage us and hold us accountable with gentleness and love. This is what Peter's story stands for. Peter's story reminds us that if genuine love and correction don't go hand in hand, we risk wounding and crushing the very people we are called to strengthen. So whenever we feel tempted to criticize or make judgments, we must remember that Jesus didn't choose Peter because he was flawless, but because he was willing. He was willing to love, to fail, to be humbled, and to follow again. Peter had a teachable heart, and that's what the risen Christ calls us to. Not a self-righteous and boastful estimation of our love and devotion to Christ, but a life rooted in humbleness. Because it takes humility to remember that we have experienced restoration and love, firstly from our Lord, but also from other people within the church and elsewhere. Only this kind of restoration and love can produce a tender heart that is fully willing to extend mercy and grace to others. And so others too will be attracted to Christ because they see our light shining forth. So may we, like Peter, count on Jesus' mercy, love him honestly, follow him faithfully, and feed his sheep. May we genuinely love each other in truth, compassion, and grace as we pray for our Father's help to build up his church, a church truly led by the Holy Spirit. Amen.